I am Paige Albiniak, Editorial Director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. Last week, Promax BDA hosted the 2017 Latin America Conference and Awards at the New World Center in Miami. One of the highlights of that event was a conversation with Raise TV, which received Promax BDA's 2017 Game Changers Award. Raise TV is a millennial-focused digital platform founded by, and I apologize up front for my terrible pronunciation of these names, Emiliano Kalemzuk, Luis Balaguer, and Modern Family star Sofia Vergara. Kalemzuk was joined on stage by Raise TV's chief creative officer, Rafael Sandor, and the pair was interviewed by WTVJ Miami's Roxanne Vargas. The trio discussed Raise TV's mission, its plans to expand into scripted content, and how Raise TV approaches its marketing. Let's listen in.
Raise TV, what is it? What do you want us to walk away from this afternoon? Emiliano, I'll start with you on what the message, the mission of Raise TV is.
Everybody write to a cable operator saying, I want my Raise TV. Now, listen, it's a reflection, in our opinion, and Rafa, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right.
Okay. It's not that. It's a reflection of what a generation expects from their media and the fact that they're also content creator. You know, we're sitting with a generation of people that are not just consumers, but producers of content. So what is a medium for them? You know, we come from the era where, you know, just find their great content, present it to you, and you had to watch it because, you know, there weren't that many options. In a world of unlimited options, how you retain a group of people, in our case, the millennials, with something that's engaging to them, but it's also reflective of them. And that's our challenge. How do we create that media company that has that at the core of its DNA? Now you can say that everything's said.
No, but I think it's interesting. Like, we are living in a time where, you know, our parents changed, you know, during the 60s, society changed dramatically, and, you know, came new bands like the Beatles doing stuff that their older people hate, probably. But they will know who they are, who they were. Today, probably there are big stars. They can walk past by you, and they wouldn't know who they are at all. So it's kind of it's a moment where there's this big movement of people that most of the mainstream media doesn't know, and we're the media for them. We're the media for that new generation of superstars, and they are superstars. These people, you know, I can tell you, we do some things, and you can tell the magic of the energy of the creator around them. It's like we say, it's just saying a simple tweet, we're gonna be with this person, this place, and
they show up.
They show up.
Tenth of South.
Thousand people, yeah.
Well, we were talking about Sebastián Villalobos. I mean, he has millions upon millions upon millions of followers. You know, I looked at, you know, from a broadcast background, which I've come from, you know, we used to have to wait for that handshake moment with the consumer, with the viewer, for an event. But now you have that handshake moment anytime, anywhere, because you send out that tweet.
And it's not just, I mean, we come also from a culture of how many people are watching, what are they viewing, it's just viewing, watching, what, you know, the engagement, the amount of activation for a behavior that these people do. These people have tens of millions of followers combined. But it's not just the followers. Like, if they want to say something about gay marriage, the activation, getting people to do stuff, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal on anything that interests them and they apply themselves to. So when you're thinking about creating a medium with them, for them, by them, you got a lot more challenges that how much is that show gonna cost me, what the amortization schedule for the show is, how much is the marketing campaign gonna cost me. You gotta be thinking in four dimensions, and it's very complicated.
Well, and you get instant gratification, not only for the consumers on the other end who are able to consume that content right away, but the brains behind Raise TV, you're able to take a look at that data almost instantaneously. Actually.
Coming from TV.
There are no brains behind Raise TV.
Yeah. They're somewhere else.
Okay.
it's really looking at what happens in real time. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Like this, it's 2 a.m, and someone made a mistake on a post or something, and the whole company needs to be able to react. This is not, again, the timing and just the monitor of live data and what's happening data, you know, second by second is crucial to your success, because you make a wrong turn, in taking audiences in the wrong direction, and you'll pay for it.
We heard, you know,
coming from TV is fascinating.
That's where I was gonna go.
We both come from TV. We both work a long time in television, and really be able to post something and see the reaction in like in 1 minute. You see who's watching, where they're watching, for how long they're watching, where exactly they stopped and where they went back. You see, you have everything. So it's really like it's a creative process, but driven by a rational process on the other side, that it really gives you a lot of information. You can play, you can be more free to do whatever you want because you know where it's stand, you know, where it gets. It's not like something you throw your spot there and you don't know where the reaction will take. Here, you know exactly what's going on and what is the reaction to it.
Tefan, that's where I was going to go. I mean, we heard in your introductions the pedigree, the expertise that you both bring to the table with television, the mind shift to get behind this type of a product. How have you guys had to kind of readjust the way you think with pushing out this information?
Having a 19-year-old teach you what you got to do is so awesome. It's like, you have to you learn that the next generations of people consume media differently, and what you have in your brain and all the things you've done in the past is good. I mean, you know, obviously there's learning on everything, but there's a lot of relearning that needs to take place. Because I remember Lee Hunt's presentation. I don't know how many people that are 20, 22, 25 years old know that Brooklyn, 99 is on Fox. Mm. And so you're talking to people who, you know, whatever happened in the past is just not part of their knowledge. And then you got to rewire. I don't know, what do you think?
No, I think the fact that you're like actually talking to real people is like you're not. Mm. You're not going somewhere else to get them. You're going straight to them. I think it's something I used to work previous to Rachel was working for Vice, and there were the mantra there is like there's no you cannot bullshit people. And reality is in social media, that goes for a TV channel like Viceland, okay. But for social media, you know exactly. You cannot miss it. You cannot fake it. Things are there, you know, and the reaction is automatic. You cannot force people to share. They only share things they really care about. They will not give you a like if you don't really like it. And all your distribution is based on that sharing. So right. You better do it right. You better know what really will move them to be able to give them the content they want. So marketing becomes, the word marketing is a little bit different when you're talking in social media because it's not marketing something to go somewhere else. It's I give you the content here, and it's more about knowing that content will go for you, that you will actually like this content. And if you don't like it, I will not give it back to you because, you know, my algorithm will go down.
Right.
So it's very much about caring about the algorithm in every single social media. You need to be very careful because if you throw people there, you throw content there that people will drop watching in a second, you will see the whole channel going down as a viewership. So you need to be very careful what you show. Anything that doesn't work, you need to be very careful not to show it once more.
Right.
That's more of the science of right. Marketing in a sense.
And if you show something that person doesn't like what they like, they may not come and visit your content again. So whereas, you know, in the broadcasting world, we're putting a promo on social to push to something else, this is the other way around. So
But it's not just that. I think what Rafa was saying is, you know, the social media networks, the YouTubes, the Instagrams, the Facebook, the Twitters, will detect what the retention rate, what the viewership curve is for your content. Have people left after 3 seconds means that you're not a good content producer. Therefore, you're going to be ranked much lower in the algorithm, and I'm going to show your content to only 2% of your follower base. If the content you're putting out there, people watch 70% of the length of the 5-minute video, means you're a good content producer. So every piece that you put out there, you're facing a test every day. Because the minute you sort of, you're not performing well, people are not watching your video, or you're watching your video shortly or skipping, or then the system, the distribution platforms are saying, well, these guys are not so good. And so you're living in a, you know, as Rafa was saying, the programming is difficult, and then marketing on top of that with an audience that will gang up on you. You know, we made mistakes with some of the talent, some of the shows, and then 100,000 people would just start bashing you. Like, there's no tomorrow. Right. And, you know, and
didn't happen, luckily, yet.
No, but, you know, but you know, it's really real time, and it's really, it's overcomplicated by the fact that you work with platforms that analyze every single decision you make on content length, duration, aesthetics, opening. You know, Facebook is autoplay. If I haven't hooked you on a piece of Facebook video in the first 2 seconds, chances are you just went through, you know, your feed went by. I went with some, you know, Allstate ad. And so it's not just thinking about the content, but it's thinking about how am I gonna make the content so specific for the social platform that I'm trying to grab you on. So, I don't know. We'll let you ask more questions.
I think it's, I mean, there's so many different aspects of it. So what is Raise's plan of action when it comes to marketing? Because marketing is so crucial in any product. You need the world to know about the product in order to consume it. So what is the plan of action? Is it the way it's, you know, shown to the consumers? Is it where you show it to the consumers? Is it how you can show it to, is it the talent behind it? And do you take advantage of LWE services to boost the people that see it?
All of the above. You want to take a stab?
Sorry, that was a loaded question.
Our initial assumption was that we would post stuff there and our talent will share it and we'll get all their million views just because they're sharing it. That reality doesn't work that much as well. But what we do is basically going behind them. Mm-hmm. They have a very, very passionate followers. So we go and work with those followers to give them the content they want. So we use the core of the fan base of each of these influencers and work with them. That's kind of like the trick of what we have done in these 4 months. Is we counted on this talent on the content side, but mostly on the marketing, we work with the real base. We talk to them. We are very much in a dialogue with the audience and we play with them with it. We have fun with them and we demonstrate we are on their side. Mm. And that's very careful. You need to be very careful of what Emiliano was saying, also on the side of the talent, because you need to be careful not to be on one side or the other. You need to be inside of both.
Right.
And you need to be nice with everybody and you need to be able to be true of what your voice needs to be true. If you're not perceived as somebody who really love their talent, and because these are fans. These are people who scream in the streets when their idol walks by. So you need to be very careful to show them that you are one of them.
Sure.
Your idol, your is an icon to you as much as to them. So you need to really know what they're doing. So for example, one of the things we do is like we are always aware of what is each of them doing, each of our talent doing live. So we know our personal lives, we follow their personal life, we follow their posting, because if we're posting something about this Emiliano is the talent in my show, and I realize he's having problem with you today because they are like fighting, you need to be careful where to post it, how to post it, how to, so it's very much about understanding the audience and be very, very careful about watching them and be true to them.
True.
I think if what Raise is today to the world of talent that we manage, and again, we have a lot of talent coming from the traditional side, a lot of talent coming from the digital side. If, you know, if we were to grab the 30 super fans that you have, and we took them on a flight to an island, and we're hanging out with them, and just sharing stories about you, and that's kind of what we do with our talent. I mean, we go to their fandoms, to all their followers, and we present content around them and about them, and you know, some of the content features the talent, some, you know, are things that we discover, and we provide the fans all the content that otherwise they'll have to go and research by themselves. I think that would be.
And you found that that's been the most effective way going
so far, through their family. So far, but that's not where we want to stay. I mean, we definitely want to move into scripted programming. Mm. You know, just, you know, we're developing 3 film initiatives right now with talent. We also work in the long form space. So the Netflixes and the Amazons of the world, you know, we package and produce television style programming. So ultimately, I think a media company of this generation needs to be doing everything. It needs to have a creative engine that can supply the market with great content, and at the same time start developing direct-to-audience connections, because when you're putting this on the air, you want to activate this as well.
Sure.
And it's almost like you got to do everything at the same time, which obviously presents a lot of logistical challenges. It's already hard enough to do one TV show.
Right.
You know, you got to manage a platform real time and all the complexities that Rafa said. You know, it's
right.
a,
Well, I mean, it was fascinating to see that Raze was born just this past summer. That's amazing that you know, you've come this far. And there's, you mentioned 30 fans that I might have. I don't know about 30 mega fans that I might have. I hope, maybe.
You have,
I said 30 super fans.
30 super fans, I hope. Right. I don't know. But
people
I know somebody,
everything about you.
Everything about me. You know, one person who does have 30,000, 30 million super fans behind her is Sofia Vergara, who is on board with Raze TV. I've interviewed her many times, and she's a lovely person, more than just being funny and a great actress, a Latina. She's also really, really smart. She is a brilliant businesswoman, but in order for someone of Sofia's stature to give her time, her name, her celebrity to something like this, it obviously is something that she really believes in. Tell me more about how Sofia got involved in Raze.
Well, I think Sofia and Luis as well, you know, when you realize that the power is shifting from distributors that had access to airwaves or access to cable carriage or channels, and a personality with a lot of followers has that power to distribute content, whatever that content is. It could be a tweet, it could be a picture, it could be a video, it could actually be an episode of TV. She realized that she wanted to take more control of her destiny and not just providing ABC with a phenomenal show that lasted 10 years, but what else can we do? How can we build lifestyle brands? How can we build sort of home decoration and cooking, things that are in her interest, and have a direct-to-consumer connection and be able to distribute directly? And as you know very well, an advertiser or a brand, anytime that there is a strong connection with a concept and a desirable audience, the brand is gonna wanna jump on top. So whatever is happening, you know, what happened with the 30-second spot in broadcast and cable, we're seeing that on this type of digital distribution, there's also an opportunity to bring a brand along. And I think to answer your question, I think she saw that, okay, fast forward 3 to 5 years, can we build a series of super networks that are distributed digitally, socially, to mobile phones and to internet-connected TVs, and why not do it? And so she, you know, she definitely jumped at the opportunity, and you know, we have great investors, Greycroft and Rain and UTA, that really are helping make this project a reality.
Yeah. How about Sofia's following on social media? Has that influenced Raze at all, or?
Yeah. I mean, she you know, she supports the you know, whatever we do. We're developing you know, original concepts. Granted, Sofia is a very busy woman. So not only she's got this great show, she's got films in development. She has the best-selling non-capsule coffee machine in the U.S., although I don't know if everyone knows that.
really?
Pretty amazing.
That was really great.
She just launched a very phenomenal initiative where it's called Empowered by You. It's a subscription service for lingerie for women where, you know, you buy the product and part of the proceeds go to support microlending for women that have projects that they want to get off the ground but they don't have the financing. So there's a lot going on, but for us, it's a great source of inspiration for content and ideas, et cetera.
Yeah. Who is your audience? Who are you targeting? And what type of content do you find that millennials seek out, Latinos and Americans as well?
That's a very good question, actually. And you know, I don't think Latinos, they look for either English or Spanish. I mean, they just, because life is such real time and you can go find anything you want, then it has to be relevant to them. It has to be interesting stuff. So, you know, our audience right now, the composition is mostly 18 to 25 year old, who is skewed, you know, a bit more female than male. But again, only 5 months of traffic. But really, you know, millennials, and Rafa alluded to this, it has to be something genuine, incredible. Mm. You know, it doesn't matter really, but it has to be something that you're not selling me something, it's not sort of made up, it's really genuine and real. And I think I would put that at the epicenter of what that content needs to be. And then, then can you find the different, you know, for those of us that come from cable, how can you verticalize it? What's my lifestyle play? What's my sort of fashion? What's the sports? What's the news? But it has to feel real. And another thing that we also, although Rafael has put together a team that has, you know, an incredible eye, and from a filmmaking perspective, you know, it's almost like fresh, genuine, and like really on the spot, trumps all the production quality that we're used to in the television space. And so it's more important to have a team of people that actually do stuff that feels real, than necessarily, you know, looking at it as what would have this made a would have made a great TV show or not. I mean, for example, all the scripted kind of fakey reality TV that you see, that doesn't really, you know, you can watch a little bit, but that doesn't really fly. People want to see stuff that's real.
Yeah, people see through that. Tafa, a lot of the content that I've consumed on race is a lot of it is Spanish. Are you going after Spanish-speaking 18 to 24-year-olds or bilingual English speakers? Do you plan on crossing over more to the English market?
We started, in fact, everything we've shown so far, all those guys are Spanish-speaking talent. We started in Spanish and in Latin America just to be able to iterate cheaper. Like, mm-hmm. we're starting, so we are fine-tuning the product. Until now, and we're launching in the next 3-4 months. Next month we're launching our first US-based series, and after that we're launching one per month, and the idea is to launch fully blown between the first quarter and the second quarter next year.
As you make that so-called crossover, is there a different plan of action when it comes to marketing and promotion, or do you kind of stick to the same plan?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at what the sweet spot of the brand needs to be for the U.S. Hispanic audience, and again, that's a much more diverse audience because not just generationally, you have English, you have Spanish, you have Spanglish, and then you have, you know, Southwest and Northeast, very different audiences than Southeast also, so we're trying to figure out, you know, it has to be kind of representative of a generation, but at the same time respectful of the differences, and so it won't be sort of a template. We'll try. Some of the stuff is just gonna suck, and we're gonna kill it, you know?
And all of your viewers will, or social media will call you out for 10,000
people. Well, by the time we're on a thick skin, you know, we can
That's one of the things about social media. You get the immediate gratification, you get to comment immediately as well. You know, almost 6 months in, obviously you had certain boxes to check, short-term goals, long-term goals. As we sit here today, after you've received this Game Change Award, changing the game, you know, what now are your short-term goals that you have now set and your long-term goals moving forward?
I think the short-term is continue to grow our traction and our audience. And it's interesting because also the social platforms where we distribute change their game all the time. So you have to sort of, you know, you may be building here because Facebook's doing this, and you know, next week it changed the algorithm and that stuff dies and you gotta figure out how to build here. So short term is developing much more, you know, being a lot more proficient about what it means. You know, I think, you know, maybe 2-3 years from now, Promax will have what's the best Instagram campaign, mm-hmm. what was the best Twitter campaign for such and such property, you know, and start thinking, because it's gonna have to be platform specific. You know, much like in our days of cable, it was the best radio campaign, best ad for the affiliate magazine, and best on-air promo, best, you know, cross-channel promo. Now you got all these other platforms that you also got to pay attention to, and each one of them has a different thing. You know, Twitter now is 280 characters. Instagram is usually a picture. So how does your creativity and your campaign translate across all these platforms? So we need to continue to build proficiency there. And long-term, you know, just great content and discovering the next wave of superstars and train them to be multi-platform stars and then bringing all the narrative and the creative tools to create a little bit of a studio around them. So you got someone with great talent, great potential, and a great platform base of following. How do we bring what we know from the old school to make the next, you know, movie, you know, multi-film franchise, and how do we create digital series that we don't need to sort of sell to a TV network, but really distribute them online? At the end of the day, as with anything in media, is the quality of the content that counts, and we really want to make this great.
And Emiliano brought up a great point about how there are different platforms and each platform requires a different approach, a different type of attention. Is there one that race focuses on more than another?
We started focusing more on YouTube just because we knew most of our, you know, talent was YouTubers, and we come from TV, so we're more video based, and then we started tweaking a little bit on, so we started in all four, but with a focus on YouTube. Last month, we started to do more and more on Instagram. And as of last week, we started to really cater Facebook. So it's a moving, We're growing little by little. And it's also about learning what works. So we try things in each of the media, because there are different media, and we test creatively what is really resonating and what is not. And then when we feel we have something that is already working, then we press a button and we start, like a production line.
Rafa, as a fan of Race, what do you enjoy watching and consuming most from Race TV?
I think it's a very spontaneous brand. And I think it's a brand that feels like a real person. It's like in every brand you see, in every media that you see Race, you always feel this very natural and personal. And we don't take ourselves seriously at all. We play with ourselves. We are always doing this kind of like, it's not humorous, because it's not really humor. It's more about being relaxed and being, you know,
real.
Dialogue, being in a dialogue with the audience and feel natural and as a person. And they actually can feel there's a community manager on the other side playing with them.
Yeah.
They don't feel like the company, they feel people. And they actually play with them in a very natural way.
What about for you, Manino?
I think, you know, I like the fact that it's very reverent and in your face. And I agree with Rafa. I think it's a living brand. Like, Race argues with its audience and provokes and pokes fun at its audience all the time. And, you know, there's people behind it, behind the brand, that understand the brand values, and then they have a direct dialogue with that audience. And I think, you know, obviously, if we can scale that and we're talking to our viewers all the time, I think that's just fantastic, you know, because ultimately you want people to like you and to love you and to feel that there's someone on the other side, that it's not just a logo. And, you know, that's what we strive for, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get better every day.
Yeah, our measure of success on each of the things we do is like it's more the engagement than the total views or the impressions. We're more about the engagement. And our engagement rate is fantastic, and that's why we feel like we're hitting a target in the right way. And so because they feel we're conversational. They feel, you can tell, we have 53% engagement rate. Like for the numbers we have, obviously we have a lower number than we're gonna have in 2 years from now. But we really feel that there's somebody there who feels this around for them.
That wrap it up thing is
I'm going. I just wanna, all of you can continue the conversation with Race TV. Did you enjoy the conversation we had here? Do you wanna continue the conversation? Gentlemen, where can we continue the conversation with Race TV? I know Instagram, I know Twitter, on Facebook, Race Official, correct?
It's Race Official in most of the accounts, except for Facebook, it's Race. And www.race.tv.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Felicidades. Muchas gracias. Thank you so much.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of ProMax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at ProMax BDA. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Christian Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A. Follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack. Follow ProMax BDA at ProMax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. Subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.